Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where, as you can see on the screen behind me, today we're going to be talking about binding Satan. Now, this is a topic that, to be honest with you, I don't know how hot the topic is. I think it's a topic that most professing Christians actually believe. There's no controversy when it comes to this topic. They believe, they have been taught, that as Christians, we have the power and the responsibility to bind Satan. Now, there are some of us, a small minority of us, it seems, who don't agree with that. And so I don't know how hot this topic is, other than it's a topic that I would think it's good for us to discuss. Because you put on so-called Christian television today, you see preacher after preacher talking about, I bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus, and we need to bind Satan so we can take territory from Satan, and all kinds of things, and have breakthrough when we bind Satan, and all these things that are so non-biblical. Now, I'm sure there are some of you listening to this saying, wait a second, Andrew, who are you to say that we don't have the power in the name of Jesus and the responsibility or authority in the name of Jesus to bind Satan? Okay, well, let's do this. Let me ask two questions as we start this when it comes to binding Satan. Question number one is why? Why do we as Christians need to bind Satan? Question number two, how? How exactly do we bind Satan? Because as I look around, and I hear people always proclaiming, Satan, we bind you. I guess here's my question. Who keeps letting him loose that he has to keep being bound again and again and again, right? Now, why do we have to bind Satan? Question number one. It's already been done by Jesus. Well, what do you mean? Go to Matthew 12, and we see our Lord. Verse 22, a demon-possessed man who was also blind and mute was brought to Jesus, and Jesus healed him so that the mute man spoke and saw. All the crowds were amazed and were saying, this man cannot be the son of David, the Messiah, can he? But when the Pharisees, the religious hypocritical religious leaders, heard this, they said, talking about what Jesus just did, this man casts out demons only by Beelzebub, by Satan, who's the ruler of demons. How about that? They were giving, the Pharisees were giving credit to the power of the Holy Spirit, okay, who had cast out that demon through Christ, the Spirit, and his power working through Christ to cast out that demon. The religious leaders were giving credit to Satan for that which the Holy Spirit clearly did in front of them. And it was very clear because the crowd saw it and they started saying, could this be the Messiah? The religious leaders said, no, that's the devil. That's blaspheming the Spirit. Denying the clear work of the Holy Spirit and instead giving credit to Satan? Oh. Verse 25, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, which shows his omniscience, that he's God, he said to them, any kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and any city or house divided against itself will not stand. You guys are saying that I cast a demon who's under the rule of Satan out of this man. And you're saying, I did it in the power of Satan. Why would Satan divide himself? His kingdom won't stand then, right? Jesus says, if Satan casts out Satan, he's divided against himself. Well, that's logical. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I, by Beelzebub, by Satan, as you claim, you Pharisees, that I cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? For this reason, they'll be your judges. Here we go. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, right? Jesus, the perfect God-man, right? God the Son, who became man. Jesus willingly, during his time here on earth, submitted to the will of the Father in the power of the Spirit. So when Jesus says, if I cast out Satan's by the power of the Spirit, then the kingdom of God is upon you. Do you see it? By casting out that demon, Jesus was saying, number one, I'm the Messiah. Number two, I have ushered in the kingdom and I'm the king. And Jesus used an illustration. He said, how can anyone enter the strong man's house and carry off his property unless he first binds the strong man? What was Jesus saying? I have entered Satan's realm here, and I have carried off his property. That man who had been demon-possessed is now my property. I've saved him. How can anyone enter strong man's house and carry off his property unless he first binds the strong man? And then he will plunder his house. So I guess Jesus makes it very clear here that he has already bound Satan, right? So again, I go back to my first question. For those who say that we have the power, the authority, the responsibility to bind Satan, my first question is why? Did Satan somehow get loose from the binding Jesus did of him? Well, wait a second, Andrew. Satan still is on the loose and he has his evil influence in this world, right? Well, in what way did Jesus bind Satan? Now, we know from the Old Testament that every nation beside the nation of Israel was basically deceived, right? They did not have God's truth, and basically they were nations who were being deceived by Satan. Only the nation of Israel knew about the coming of the Messiah. Only the nation of Israel worshiped the true living God. Not all in Israel, obviously, but at least the nation of Israel was aware, right? Had that truth. Now, yes, there were some pagans, like when Jonah went and preached to the Assyrians, you had Rahab, Ruth, and others. But primarily, prior to the coming of Christ, Satan had all the nations deceived. But with the coming of Christ and his binding of Satan, think about what happened during the coming of Christ, his first coming, and since that time. Not only are Jews saved, Gentiles are saved, the nations are no longer deceived, God's truth, the gospel about Christ, has gone throughout the world. Because Jesus bound Satan at Christ's first coming, so that Satan could no longer deceive the nations. And again, Revelation 20, we see that verse 3, that Satan had been bound so that he would not deceive the nations any longer. But then, before final judgment, before the coming of Christ, Satan will be loosed, where once again he will deceive the nations. But at this point, Satan is bound. Bound from deceiving the nations. And who is the one who bound Satan? Our Lord. And in doing so, he proclaimed, the kingdom of God has come upon you. And so, for those who say that we as Christians still need to bind Satan, okay, why? Did that which Christ did, is that what Christ did at his first coming? He failed? May it never be. Well, some will say, okay, Andrew, I get it. Okay, Satan's bound in terms of no longer able to deceive the nations. I get that. But Satan is still running around and tempting people and spreading his evil influence, and we need to bind him. Okay, I'll ask the question again. Why? Well, Andrew, didn't you hear what I just said? Shouldn't we as Christians try to bind Satan so that he's not spreading his evil influence as the gospel is going out? Okay. Again, I ask why. And then I'll ask the second question. How? How do you bind Satan? Well, I say the name of Jesus and I hocus pocus, whatever, and Satan is bound. Great. Then I guess it didn't work because he seems to keep getting out because everybody keeps wanting to bind him. Christ already bound him, so he's no longer deceiving the nations. And those people say that we as Christians have to bind him so he's not spreading his evil influence, not tempting people, not coming against believers. Okay, how do you bind him? What do? Do you walk around with chains? How do we know that we need to bind Satan? Or better yet, what if God doesn't want Satan bound the way many Christians say he should be bound? Have you ever thought of that? You do realize that Satan is not sovereign. He's not God. God is sovereign. And do you realize that Satan is on a leash? As Martin Luther said, God's leash. Satan can't do what he wants to do. Satan has to do whatever God commands. Now, I'm not saying God is the author of evil. I'm not saying God compels Satan to do satanic things. God is not the author of evil, and God doesn't tempt anybody, James chapter 1. But God will use evil for God's sovereign purposes and for God's holy glory. Wait a second, Andrew. What did you just say? God will use Satan to accomplish God's purpose? Absolutely. Think of the story of Joseph in the Old Testament. What did Joseph say to his brothers? What you meant for evil, obviously empowered by Satan, right? The evil one. Joseph said, what you meant for evil, God meant for good, for the saving of many lives. How about the book of Job? Who was in control of that whole deal? God was. Read Job chapter 1 very carefully. It was God who said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? God set the ground rules. God set the parameters. And God used Satan and his evil intent for Job's good and for God's glory. And the book of Job, what did Job say? He still didn't know why everything happened to him. But he simply said to God, before I knew about you, now I know you. How about Peter? Remember our Lord said to Peter in Luke 22? Simon, Simon, or Satan has asked permission of Jesus to sift you, Peter, like wheat. In other words, Satan has asked permission of me so that he could toss you up in the air and to show that your faith is so fragile, you're nothing but like a bunch of chaff. Imagine Peter going, Lord, you did tell him no, right? What did our Lord say? No, I've prayed for you that your faith would not fail. And when you've landed, go and strengthen your brothers. And isn't that exactly what happened? Just like God in the Old Testament turned evil intentions against Joseph, against Job, God turned that for good in his glory. Think about what happened with Peter. Oh, he was tossed in the air. And boy, it looked for a while there like his faith was like chaff, just going to blow away. He had denied our Lord three times. Boy, he was hurting. But our Lord had been praying for him that his faith would not fail, and it didn't. And when Peter landed, oh, did he land and became that rock that preached the gospel of Christ to the Jews, to the Samaritans, to the first Gentile Cornelius, pounding against the gates of hell with the gospel of Christ so that souls had been released and saved. How about Paul? 2 Corinthians 12. Paul had received an incredible vision. Vision of heaven. And he said that I had seen things, heard things that I'm not permitted to speak about here on earth, which is kind of funny because these supposed heavenly travelers who supposedly have vision of heaven and all that, they immediately come back and write books and make all kinds of money, right? Paul was not allowed to say anything about what he saw about heaven, right? But look what happened. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, he said, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, what I saw, what I heard, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, scolops in the Greek, like a stake, and it was brutally painful. And do you know who delivered the stake into Paul? A messenger of Satan. Messenger, Greek, angelos, angel of Satan would be what? A demon. I agree with many commentators who say that God probably allowed a demon to be unleashed in that Corinthian church. You know, the Corinthians who were driving Paul crazy, pain upon pain. And perhaps, maybe some of the people in that congregation had become demon-possessed and they were making Paul's life miserable. But who is the one who sent that thorn to Paul? God did. To keep Paul from exalting himself. Satan would never do that, right? Satan's not interested in our humility. He wants us to be prideful. Why? So we can fall. So we know when Paul says, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me from God a thorn, a scallops in my flesh. We're not quite sure what it was, but we know it was so painful. Paul said it was tormenting me. And he said three times I begged the Lord, please remove it. And our Lord responded to him, my grace is sufficient for you. Like it was for Joseph, Job, Peter. Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. And Paul said, most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses, not about my things I saw in heaven and all. No. Let me boast about my weaknesses, my struggles, my sufferings, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I'm well content, he said, with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties. For Christ's sake, he said, for when I'm weak, then because of Christ, I am strong. God sent a scallops to torment Paul. And God used, I believe, a demon or demons in that church to deliver it to Paul. Why? To destroy Paul? No. To bless Paul. To keep him from exalting himself. So that his life would be lived in complete reliance on the strength and power of the Lord rather than on Paul. And so that whatever the Lord would do in and through Paul's life, the Lord and the Lord alone would get all the glory. Do you see it? That's why Paul goes, I get it. And so we see examples in Scripture where God wasn't asking his people to try to bind Satan. God actually used Satan to accomplish God's good purposes, all for God's glory. Joseph, Job, Peter, Paul. Christian, be careful. In your effort to try to bind Satan, you actually may be working in opposition to God and his glorious will for you. Be very careful. God may use all kinds of things to discipline you because you're sinning. God may use all kinds of things to prevent you from sinning. Like the example of Paul here, to keep me from exalting myself. He said it twice. So again, our Lord may send a skull ups to you. Because you've been sinning. It's God's discipline on his people. To humble us. To bring us back to our senses. To bring us to true godly repentance so we don't continue to live in sin. But on the other hand, God may send a skull up to you like he did here with Paul. Not because Paul had been sinning, but to prevent Paul from sinning. From exalting himself. And again, God used a messenger of Satan to accomplish God's good purposes for God's glory and for Paul's good. Can you imagine had Paul, and again, the apostles, had been given certain powers? I mean, we saw Paul during his missionary journeys. He was able to cast out demons. Remember when he was in Philippi, that one young girl was going around and, you know, she was demon possessed and Paul was able to cast out that demon. But isn't it interesting? In this instance, when it came to Paul's individual life, I mean, can you imagine had he tried to bind Satan or to cast out this demon that was, you know, opposing him there in the church? Paul would have missed out on God's blessings for Paul. Wow. Again, God is not the author of evil. There is no evil in God. He does not tempt. But God has Satan on a leash. You and I don't need to bind Satan. Again, how do we do that? If we could do it, I don't know. Jesus already bound Satan in terms of deceiving the nations. You can't do that now. But friends, understand, it's not like Satan's running around like he's in full control of everything. He's on a leash, on God's leash. And we see biblical examples of how the Lord will even use the evil of Satan, the evil intent of Satan, to bless God's people and bring glory to God's holy name. And again, before you decide you want to try to bind Satan, ask yourself the question, if I was able to do this, am I certain I really want to do this? Because who knows, I may be working in opposition to God. Oh yeah, it's painful what I'm going through. Oh, it's killing me, tormenting me, like Paul, like Job, like Joseph, like Peter. But man, through this whole ordeal, I'm learning an incredible truth. My Lord's grace is truly sufficient for me. And in my weakness, His power is perfected. So when I'm weak, because of Christ, I'm strong. And I can rejoice, not in me, and being prideful in me. I can rejoice in my weakness, in my complete dependence upon my Lord and His grace. Let our Lord be in control of Satan and the demons, because He is. And trust the Lord that whatever He brings your way, Christian, He will use it to make you more like Christ, so that your life can bring all glory, all honor, and all praise to Christ. Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.